Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joins us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Ira, I noticed that LeBron James congratulated himself on 30,000 points. Eric Folero congratulated him. Have you sent LeBron a congratulations on 30,000?
And I did not. However, I congratulated myself ahead of time on an excellent interview on the Alex Dono radio program.
Yes.
So I hope that comes true. So that's already out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Now I have to live up to the billing.
You know, Ira, I thought that Hassan Whiteside raised a good question about all-star selections. And the Heat, of course, as you've noted many times over the last day, do not have an all-star selection for the second straight year. Hassan Whiteside wants to know, is it more about stats or is it more about winning? Because it seems like it can kind of go either way on that.
I think it's more about reputation. I think that's what we found out from all these all-star selections, that fans and players and media vote on reputation for the starters. Coaches tend to vote more on reputation for the reserves as well. So a Kyle Lowry, who has very similar numbers to a Goran Dragic, gets a second berth there for the Raptors. That Bradley Beal and John Wall, better known players recently as far as up-and-coming stars, they get the notice of a Washington team behind the Heat in the standings. Look, I cannot make an intelligent basketball argument with you that anyone on the Heat was quote-unquote snubbed. I thought it was close. I thought these were all marginal all-star talents. But I remember the years when the Hawks had a very good team but no particular stars, how all their players got in. And as well as the Celtics had played during the voting period, Al Horford has not had an overwhelming season. I'm not even sure I ever consider him an all-star. Only people thought, hey, the Celtics are so good, we need a second player. So they picked Horford. So, yeah, I think the Heat were overlooked, but the very style the Heat play is to have a different leading scorer every game, is to have everyone contribute, to have no one scoring over 20, but everyone scoring 17. So in a way, the style of the Heat hurt the Heat's players during this process. I do believe, though, if Commissioner Adam Silver has to make another East choice, if someone gets injured, I think the Heat will be high on that list.
You know, and I know that I'm not saying he prefers this, because I think he wanted to have all-stars on his squad because he wants it for his players. But
sure.
Does a part of Eric Spoelstra kind of like this because he can keep using this motivational tactic of the us against the world?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, heck, if the Philadelphia Eagles can cast themselves as underdogs all the way to the Super Bowl just because they lost their quarterback, then I think the Heat will absolutely use it as some sort of motivation of telling Goran and Hassan and Josh Richardson and the others that you weren't good enough, that you're the misfit. So, yeah, I think there is something to that. I think the Heat would have used that fuel regardless. They just announced in the last 15 minutes the rookie game players for the Rising Stars Challenge. No Bam Adebayo on that list. So,
wow.
So again, and I mean, a guy really who has drawn notice around the league and who has done a really good job for what the Heat ask, and yet someone named Dylan Brooks from the Memphis Grizzlies is in the rookie challenge. I know that it's a matter of they have an international and U.S. team, but I think that's wrong also. I think you should have the best first and second year players instead of going out of your way there. That's the one that really stood out to me. So no Bam, no Heat player. We're down to February 1st. They're going to announce the dunk and the three-point contest. I would say there is no way that Wayne Ellington won't be invited.
I like that, and that was going to be my next question, because Wayne Ellington, no question he deserves that. And Ira, that will give me a reason to be invested on the Saturday night before the All-Star game, which, to be honest with you, for many years I have preferred watching the three-point shooting contest, the skills competition, the dunk contest. I tend to prefer that over the All-Star game itself.
And I think it'll be the same. This notion of, oh, they're going to draft players and that this will be the pride of Steph Curry and the pride of LeBron James. No, this will be the pride of guys going out, making sure they don't get hurt, making sure they don't exert too much effort in getting ready for the second half of the season. The NBA All-Star game will never be dramatic. I kind of like what hockey did. Hockey stopped the pretense of defense
right. In
All-Star games. They stopped the pretense of guys blocking shots. No one's blocking a shot. So play 3-on-3. Make it wide open. There's going to be no checking, because in 3-on-3 you can't afford to miss a check and you have a 3-on-2 break. So maybe the NBA needs to do that. Maybe they need to have this 3-on-3 All-Star Challenge where it's gonna, they're going to score 300 points, but at least they're honest about it. Hockey got that direction. Football has no choice but to have the mockery of the game that they have. But the NBA All-Star game is going to be terrible, I can tell you right now, a month out ahead of time, because in a competitive contact sport, you're never going to get a competitive contact game.
Ira, give me a health update on the Heat. Goran Dragic, Tyler Johnson.
Goran Dragic and Tyler Johnson were upgraded today to probable. Eric Spoelstra spoke about them coming back depending on shoot-around tomorrow before they play the Kings tomorrow night at American Airlines Arena. Teammates Hassan Whiteside and Wayne Ellington both basically said, yes, those two are good to go. So I think we'll see the Heat a lot closer to whole in that game. Of course, we have Dion Waiters, his season-ending surgery. He's out, still waiting on Magruder. But this will let the Heat buy a little more time on their two-way contracts with Walton and with Jones,
right,
who might not even be active for the game and technically, quote-unquote, be with the G League and Sioux Falls Skyforce. I think the Heat will be able to manage their injuries now better through the February 8th trading deadline, and then they'll be able to figure out who they are and what they need.
Yeah, and explain to me how that works with those two-way contracts, because I didn't realize that, like, you can hold out players for a practice day, and that doesn't count as an NBA day. So they're maximizing the availability of Jones and Walton, who are both under 10 days eligible for NBA days coming up.
Yeah, it's, you know what, this was not the NBA's intention when they said, okay, if you're going to sign a two-way contract, you can spend up to 45 days in the NBA. The thought was they'd be 45 contiguous, maybe 3 15-day stints or something like that. Instead, teams are trying to maximize it. So if you don't practice with the NBA team, you're off the court before they go out there. It does not count as an NBA day, which seems stupid that if you're going to play tomorrow, you couldn't practice with your teammates. This is the rule. The one I'm going to tell you now is the most absurd thing, and I've spoken to some people, and it will get changed. In the NBA, if your team flight arrives back to your home city after 1 a.m., it cannot count as a day off for your players. Every NBA team must get at least one day off during each calendar week, Sunday through Saturday. So they don't want teams dragging home 2, 3, 4 in the morning and coach saying, okay, this is your day off. I get that part of it. However, it's the same rule for the two-way players. So the Heat had Walton and Jones stay in Houston after the game against the Rockets on Monday night, so they wouldn't arrive back in Miami after 1 a.m. It's a long flight. Miami's pretty far from every city but Orlando and the NBA. Those guys flew back commercial on Tuesday during the Heat's day off, so it didn't count against their 45-day clock. Everyone knows they need to change it. To me, this is the brilliance of Andy Ellisberg from the Heat on one hand. It's almost like Belichick-like trickery to take advantage of every rule, which is what these pro sports guys do on the other hand. But there's got to be a better way to treat these players. And I know of at least one agent who has one player in this situation has already contacted the Players Association and said, let's sit down at All-Star break. Let's sit down after the season. There has to be a better way. So if anyone sees Derek Jones Jr. or Derek Walton Jr. at the arena and they're not in uniform, please take a picture and let me know so I can decide whether to count it toward their clock or not.
It's just a weird mental picture to think about the rest of the team flying back on a private jet and then Jones and Walton waiting on standby at the Eastern Airlines counter. It's a weird mental picture.
Continental in Houston, and again, that tough choice, do you want the Biscoff cookies or the pretzels?
So always again, the Biscoff.
You know, yeah, there's always a choice there that players have to make. Look, on one hand, these guys are glad for the opportunity. On the other hand, the Heat will get these guys both their 45-day maximum. Here's the crazy part. If you're under NBA contract, you make about $5,000 a day. If you're under G League contract, you make about $500 a day.
Jeez.
So it's crazy. So it's almost like the Heat are saying, hey, thanks for contributing. Derek, you made some great rebounds and putbacks. Thanks, Derek Walton, you for giving us some minutes at point guard without Goran. And we're going to cut your pay by 95% tomorrow. Now go home.
We are joined here by Ira Winterman, who is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Now, Ira, let's get down to business here. Will the Miami Heat be the 3 seed above the Cleveland Cavaliers by week's end?
By week's end? Ooh, see, that's different. I thought we were going to say by season's end.
No.
By week's end, there's a chance with Cleveland's schedule. Yeah, I think there's a chance of that, and that's a very real possibility. By season's end, I think there's zero chance that he'd play the Cavs next week on Wednesday night, I believe it is, in Cleveland. So they've always struggled to play up there. Cleveland will get it together. This wow. is just bored people trying to find their way on the drudgery on the way to another trip to the NBA Finals. I still think with all the Dan Gilbert stuff, the Kevin Love stuff, the Isaiah Thomas stuff, by the February 8th trading deadline, they'll sort out what they need, who they need. They will get those players in their desperation to keep LeBron James, and they'll be a much better team over those final 2 months of the regular season.
So do you think I'm reading this all wrong when I say that LeBron right now reminds me of LeBron quitting against the Celtics before he left Cleveland, quitting against the Spurs before he left Miami? You don't think he has 1 foot out the door?
He quit against the Spurs with 3 weeks before free agency. He quit against the Celtics with, 2 months before free agency. He was much closer to knowing that, hey, this Cleveland team isn't good enough. Hey, this Miami team is getting old and isn't as good as what Cleveland got after they won the lottery. I think it's too early for that LeBron game. I still think he can get his people better positioned. I also think, like you mentioned, if whether they're selling the team or not, the Cavs know they have to try to do everything to appease him.
Mm-hmm.
Look, there could be mistakes, like the Heat drafting Shabazz Napier, just to appease LeBron, like the Heat signing Danny Granger and Josh McRoberts just to appease LeBron. But that's what teams do. They will go to every possible length to try to keep him there. So I think it'll make them better, at least in the short run, than they're looking right now. My question is this, and it's going to fuel the next 4 hours or 3+ hours of your show. Would you, if you're the Miami Heat, trade Hassan Whiteside for Kevin Love? Would
no,
you?
No, I don't think so.
If you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, trade Kevin Love for Hassan Whiteside.
I think yeah. I prefer Hassan Whiteside, Ira.
It's interesting because I think the Heat, if they sat down and think about that, they have Olynyk and Adebayo.
Mm-hmm.
And that Kevin Love would give them something unique when they play him at the 4, number 1, or 2, when they play him in a smaller lineup at the 5 with James Johnson's defensive skills. I think it's at least interesting enough to think about. And also, Alex, I think you and I would agree with small ball and the way Eric Spoelstra is using him that for the Heat, Hassan Whiteside is not a whale at the moment. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would.
Okay. If Kevin Love was a free agent this summer, let's look at the lineage, okay? 2 years ago, 2 summers ago, it was Kevin Durant. Last summer, it was Gordon Hayward. If Kevin Love was a free agent this summer, do you not believe that Pat Riley would be at his doorstep?
And he probably would. Plus, Ira, doesn't Kevin Love seem more like a Riley-type player than Hassan Whiteside?
Yes and no. Yes, because I think he's more of a whale type. I think he's more of a versatile player in today's game. I don't believe any of this begging out for sick, or I don't think he's soft. You mentioned what he went through in the finals and how he tried to get into a game.
Yeah.
So I'm not buying any of that.
I'm not buying that either.
He has one X in his column against him. Pat Riley likes defensive-oriented players. Pretty bad defender. He's a pretty, pretty bad defender.
So I love the Larry David there.
Yeah, you can play him with Bam Adebayo, and Bam will clean up the mistakes, and you'll have a shot blocker. But, man, you talk about front-court defense. If you're playing Kelly Olynyk and Kevin Love together, what do you have in that situation? So, to me, it's a matter of balancing what you have. Could you find another shot blocker like Willie Reed, like you had on the cheap in a coming season, and make that work? Maybe that's a possibility. But, Alex, I would not discount that from a Heat perspective because, again, I think Kevin Love is a whale in Pat Riley's eyes, and Pat Riley will do anything and everything to get a whale. So I think it's possible. I think it's less on the other side. I don't know if a fight-to-the-death player like LeBron James would necessarily embrace a Hassan Whiteside type of player. That would leave me a little bit curious.
We've learned a lot today. We've learned from Ira Winderman that the Cavaliers can flip a switch and fix everything, and that the Miami Heat will trade Hassan Whiteside for Kevin Love.
So there, right? If I haven't given you at least 3 hours of radio,
and I'm only on for another hour. Actually, less than that is the sad thing. I'm only on till 7:30, Ira. You should have saved this for another day.
Well, at least I fueled the next hour. So you know what? I give you permission. Tell Ryan it's okay. Cancel the rest of the commercials and just start talking.
You should congratulate yourself on social media for an amazing segment.
I already did, but I did that before I came on. So now
right.
I don't feel guilty. And so now I don't have to do the thing everyone complains about and delete a tweet or anything like that. I'm just going to let that sucker ride.
He is Ira Winderman, does a great job covering the Miami Heat in the NBA for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, powered by Anajar and Levine. Ira, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week.